Thank you for those tonight, Kathy. Appreciate that. Appreciate the singing. If you have your notes from last week, go ahead and pull those back out. If not, there are, I think, still some copies of it back on the podium. And you can pick one up from there. As we continue looking at our stewardship, we're looking at our responsibilities with God's revelation. And we noted the different kinds. We were touching on the different kinds of revelation, natural revelation, which is the physical universe. And we'll not go through all those notes. I'll let you fill in for those that weren't here last week. The first fill in refers to the physical universe, that natural revelation. Point two is it also includes God's continued operation in nature and history and man's conscience. We often don't think about that as we consider natural revelation. We just immediately go to the physical universe and kind of leave it at that. God created it. Yes, he created it, but he also sustains it. He's still active in his universe, in his nature. He's active in history. He's active with our conscience, which is part of this natural revelation. Dropping down, point four, nature is proof that God exists and leaves man without excuse. Number five, our stewardship starts here. While natural revelation does not reveal salvation, it does point us to the fact that there is a God and we are answerable to him. And we moved on to supernatural or written revelation. And God revealed further truth through his written word, the Bible. And as I noted, it is a theme of the Bible is redemption. It's not the theme. There's more than just one theme in the Bible. But the theme in the Bible is redemption, and its main character is Christ. Point three, biblical truth is spiritually discerned. Again, we have those verses there. The Bible is naturally, point four, the naturally and scientifically correct. As we look at our Bibles, we need not think that somehow the Bible and science don't agree with each other. They do. And when the Bible and science do not agree, and typically that's in the science realm, we take the Bible and go with that. Thus, you know, we do not believe in evolution. That's man's machinations to try to answer this without God. And the scriptures tell us otherwise. And so we note that it is scientifically correct, it's historically correct, which brings us down to point C, a revelation that we don't usually see in this realm when we touch on these things. We usually look at the natural revelation and the supernatural, the written word. And we stop there, but there is the incarnate revelation, which when we use the incarnate, what do we immediately think of? Correct, the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, that's where we're looking. It's helpful if you read point one, then you would see Christ is right there. God's truth is also revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Number two, the Word, as John refers to Christ in his gospel, emphasized his role as heaven's message bearer. And indeed he is. He brought us the message of salvation through his life. And so as we see that, Christ fulfilled the office of prophet. He was the spokesman for God. Yes, he was the God-man. But as we know him, he is the prophet, priest, and king that we see in the Old Testament prophesied about. But as prophet, he is the spokesman for God, and he indeed did that in his life on this earth. He proclaimed what God wanted proclaimed, and he reminded us over and over again in the Gospels. That's what he was sent to do, to proclaim the message that God had given to him to give to the world. And as we come to point four, our stewardship, as we consider that our responsibility, our stewardship with this, makes us responsible and accountable to know his Son through his word. We have a responsibility as human beings, let alone believers, to be responsible and accountable to know his Son through his word. I mean, that's the only place we can find about his Son. because we don't find him in the natural revelation. We don't find God there. We know that God exists because of the natural revelation, but we don't find our salvation there. We don't find the Lord Jesus Christ there. He came in human flesh, robed himself, but we are, our stewardship makes us responsible. We need to know about our Savior. And those of us that know Christ particularly and accountable, we will, as the Scriptures remind us, we will one day give an account for the things done in this body. And so we have an accounting coming forward with the stewardship that God's given to us. And it is so often that we, I think, whether purposely or not, try to set aside that stewardship idea of responsibility with our salvation, with this Bible, with our Christian living, that, you know, somehow that's just going to happen. And it doesn't just happen. It takes some effort on our part. We need to open this book. We need to read it for ourselves. We need to be in church services. And I realize, you know, I'm speaking to the choir. We're here on a Wednesday night. We're here. Why? Because I trust we understand the responsibility we have as stewards of God to take in his word, to grow with it, and to be what he would have us to be. And as such, as we see our subpoints, to study what he has said. I mean, this is why we have this book before us that we're looking at. It is part of our stewardship, is to study what he has. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, as Paul speaks to Timothy, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. Be diligent," is that word, the underlying Greek word for study. "Be diligent, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I appreciate the word study here, but it kind of loses it a little bit because he speaks of a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be diligent in the looking at the Scriptures. We can't just read it one time and say, okay, I've read through the Bible once, I'm good to go. I've studied it, I can go forward. No. Anybody who has been around any time as a believer knows just because we've read it once doesn't mean that we've gathered it all in, that we've got everything that God wants for us. Lynn and I, in our devotion time together here just a couple days ago, we have a book that's by Richard Bagster is his last name, and he has compiled verses. He did this, I think, back in the 1800s, but he compiles verses kind of along a theme, and it's just verses for in the morning and for in the evening. About a good paragraph full. Sometimes it's a small passage. Sometimes it may be just a phrase out of a verse. We came across a verse that we didn't recognize. Now, he puts the Bible verses at the bottom, but we read this and like, I've not seen, where is this? And we found it to be in the Psalms. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I mean, I've read through the Bible that I know of at least, this is 2025, so about 27 times specifically in the year. So I've read that verse 27 times. We've gone through this book once before, and it didn't catch our eyes that time. So there's at least 28, if not more times, that I've seen that verse in this book, but it sure didn't come into my mind. So we can't do it just one time and say, I'm good to go. This book, not just by the sheer volume of it, but the fact that it is a living word, God uses it, and we need to read it and reread it and reread it, because God will always be showing us what he wants for us from his word when we need it. I still find that out. Yes, I've read it through that many times. And as I've said, I will find something new this year. And I will have read it that same day last year and 5 years ago on this same day. But God will say, today's the day I want to give you a little light bulb experience and show you this truth that has always been there. But now is the day that you really need this. And the light bulb comes on, and we say, thank you, Lord. I've seen that, but I've not seen that. And now I have. Thank you. And so we need to study it, to be diligent in it, coming back to it over and over and over again. And as we see in point B, to meditate upon his sayings, as Psalm 1, verse 2 notes, a good opening psalm to the Psalms is that because it lays the groundwork for all the Psalms. Whether it's David or any of the other writers, we have those two choices in life. Either follow the Lord or follow sin and not follow the Lord. And he clearly shows us the end results of both of those. Which one do you want? You want to be blessed of the Lord, fruitful, or not? But he notes in verse 2, he says, but his delight, that blessed man, who doesn't sit, who doesn't stand, and all of those things as we see in verse 1, but his delight, this blessed man who doesn't do those things, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. To sit and ruminate, to think and consider the word of God. And I trust that we have those opportunities to do so. You know, as I've, again, in the book that I wrote concerning reading the Word of God, that's really just the first step. To take the time to get to read it through systematically from beginning to end within the course of a year, that's just the start. God will take that and he will show you things along the way that, okay, I need to spend some time a little bit more in. That passage caught my eye today. And we may need to come back and do some meditating on it, reading back through it again and again and again, seeking the Lord. Okay, Lord, what? This has intrigued me. This has caught my attention. Lord, what do you have here for me? What do you want to show me out of your word that I need? And that's where the meditating comes in, not the, you know, sitting with your legs crossed and your hands up and kind of stuff. It is taking time to bring the word back into your mind and quoting it to yourself if you've memorized it, coming back during the day, reading it again. Saying, Lord, there's something here that you want me, so I need to look at this again and take time to meditate on it and to read it over, read the context of where the verse is, and just take time, yes, to study it, to bring it into and draw it into the inside of us, truly, where God uses it. We need to implement his message, as James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, so we'll touch a little bit for Sunday school in a few weeks. When we get to this verse, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Which goes in with what we're looking at here. Don't be just hearers of the word. Yeah, if I've read it, okay, so what have you done with the reading? Well, I read it. Well, did God prompt your hearts about some things that maybe we should be doing with his word? Well, maybe not. Well, he tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. All we're doing is deceiving ourselves. Because this book is a book of action. God wants it in our lives so that he can move us forward in his service. He can do what he desires through us to bring glory to himself, honor to his name, and for our good. And so we need to implement that message and see it part and parcel of our life and moving us forward for our God. Because again, this is our stewardship. He didn't just save us and give us a heavenly fire insurance policy. We don't have a get out of hell free card because we know Christ. You know, are we going to hell? No. God saved me. That's not my end. I have a new end in heaven. But that's salvation is more than just that. It's the Christ life living within us, showing to a lost and dying world Christ, showing to our fellow believers Christ, to edify and encourage one another and see that word go forward. And so we have this to implement this message and see it become fruitful in our lives, a blessing to ourselves and a blessing to those around us. And as we note in the last point, to distribute his word to others. I mean, what a joy it is, whether I'm sitting back and hearing this in various settings that we may find ourselves in, or, you know, amongst ourselves, but what a blessing to distribute his word to others, as Psalm 119, verse 172 notes. He says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. What a joy to share God's word with our fellow believers. I mean, it does your pastor's heart when in our various fellowships and we may come together. Now, I'm not eavesdropping. I mean, we're all talking, so it's not like we're not eavesdropping on everybody else. But it's a joy to hear when people are sharing verses because of the blessing that God gave to you sometime this week, and you're wanting to share it with somebody. That's part of what we have to do as believers, because we do have this stewardship with his word to help others. You know, we may come across a verse that may be of help to someone else. You know, God bless my heart with this. So you're going through a similar situation. I found this verse to be a great encouragement to me. Maybe God will use it in your life as he did mine. And we share those verses and we have those opportunities to do so, to distribute his word to others. Of course, for the lost, it's to giving him his word, the plan of salvation, if you will, those blessed verses that God can use to bring them unto himself, that he will convince and convict in their hearts their need of trusting Christ. And so we have that responsibility, that stewardship, to take his word and to give it out, because it's not just for us, as good as it is. It's for us to fill ourselves out so that we can empty ourselves again, so that God can fill us again. We're not the Dead Sea. We're a living sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet except evaporation. And that's why it's called the Dead Sea. There's no fish. You know, you can look at pictures of the Dead Sea and you'll never see a boat and a fisherman with a rod and reel looking to catch something. Because it's a salt water. Well, can't they put saltwater fish in there? No, it's even saltier than the ocean. But, you know, there are no fish that live in there because of that saltiness. That's why it's called the Dead Sea, because there is deadness there. That's not what God wants us to be. He wants an inflow and an outflow that keeps a lake fresh, clean, productive, and that's how God sees us, like the Sea of Galilee farther north. It has an inflow and it has an outflow. And that's where the fishermen are, because that's where life is going and existing. And God desires us to do that with his word. Bring it in, yes, in our reading, in our church services, and then have opportunities to give it out, so that we can be refreshed again instead of just filling ourselves to the point of really deadness. We've taken it in, we've taken it in, we've taken it in, we've taken it in, and it's getting, the word's not putrid, but our ideas, our mindset starts getting putrid because we've never given it out. And so may we give it out so that we can be refreshed ourselves. We'll look at the practice of God's written word in 2 weeks. Tracy will, I trust, be available next Wednesday. It's good to see them tonight. So that means progress is being made on the farmland. And that's certainly an answer to prayer. But Tracy will be filling in, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Lynn and I will be having a few days off, kind of celebrate that anniversary we just had a week and a half ago or so. And so we'll be away for a few days. But when we come back, we'll practice God's written, the practice of God's written revelation, and we'll be looking at those things as we consider our stewardship and our responsibilities as believers as we go forward.